Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. Hope everybody's had a good week so far. Do we have any first-time visitors? Let's go ahead and do that. To my left, any first-time visitors?
First time in this service is CB and Joy, B-L-O-H-M. Did I get that right? And right here on the first, they were here last Sunday at the 8 o'clock service. We welcome them again.
Welcome
As I
back.
Look, I believe that's all here.
All right. How about in the middle section? Any first-time visitors? Or to my right, any first-time visitors? No? Okay. Okay, good. What about any announcements? Do we have any announcements this morning? Elizabeth? Okay, and we all like surprises, so everybody come. That'd be fun. Any other announcements? Susan? Okay, youth tonight at 5 o'clock. Any other announcements? I need to make an announcement about the Sanctuary Sunday School class. Jamie and Susan's last day with us will be next Sunday. So Jamie teaches the Sanctuary class. If you are interested in teaching that class, please see me or Jamie. If not, then the members who are attending that class, we do have several other adult classes that you may want to visit to attend. If we don't find anyone to teach that class, then we just won't have that class anymore. So those people will have to go to another class. So if you're interested in that class, then see me or Jamie. Any other announcements?
There's an arrangement of flowers in the lobby. They're from the funeral of Andy Burkett, and they shared them with us after the service on Friday.
Okay. Any prayer concerns? Elizabeth? Okay, the Davis family. Any other prayer concerns? Deborah? Okay, and what's her name, Deborah? Any other prayer concerns? Susan? Okay. Any other prayer concerns?
I have one. My wife Debbie had an odd dizzy spell this morning. Not really sure what it is. She's still having a little trouble with it, but Debbie Hatfield.
Okay. Debbie feels better. Vincent's mother had thyroid surgery week before last. She had part of her thyroid removed for cancer, but they think they got it all and only had to take part of her thyroid and not the whole thyroid. So we're hopeful that is positive and that she's doing well from that. Any other prayer concerns? Yes.
I want to thank everybody for their prayers for me. I
Good. Any other prayer concerns?
Wes's mother's cancer surgery has been successful, and she is doing
pretty
well. So
that's good. Several prayers. Any other concerns? Okay. If not, let's bow our heads and take a moment, pause for a moment of silent prayer before we worship God. Amen. To his presence singing hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Coming to his presence singing hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Coming to his presence singing Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Three say Lord together singing hallelujah.
This place. This
is none other than the house of God.
And this is the gate of heaven.
Let us worship.
Number 72 is the number.
We'll sing number 72 in the style as we sing it on Wednesday night.
Glory, glory and honor,
for prayer and reflect upon God creating us, but reflect upon God. Focus first on God. Created you and me. Created us to bring glory and honor to Him. And think of the glory that we have brought to Him this week. Reflect upon the opportunities that we let slip by us to bring glory to Him. Lord, we come knowing that Thou art worthy. Worthy of all that we can offer, as meager as it may be. We come bringing ourselves unto You, presenting ourselves. Lord, we're not always holy, but we come trusting in Jesus, through whom we find holiness. And Lord, we want to offer You spiritual worship. Thank You for this call that You have issued us to glorify You. Thank You for the hope of heaven, the experience of Jacob as he wrestled. Lord, that he found the gate of heaven, the house of God. Let this place be for us like that wilderness was for Jacob, the gate of heaven. Thank You. Thank You that You have called us from death to life, from darkness to light, from sin to salvation. Thank You for this time that we can worship and attempt to bring glory to You. And You, Lord, we pray, will work through us that it might be a reality. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Lord's Prayer is on page 716 in your hymnal. The Apostles' Creed, I'm sorry. 716 in your hymnal. Or it's on the wall behind me. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it shall never shall be. Our call to confession. When he came to his senses, he said,
I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Our prayer of confession is in unison, so please join with me. We are sometimes doubtful, O God, that you are in our midst.
This weary old world groans in pain, and we humans are too often enslaved by fear and suffering. It's so easy to lose hope. Search us, O God, and know our hearts and thoughts. If there is any wrong in us, lead us in the way everlasting, and teach us your hope that shines in even seemingly hopeless situations.
Our assurance of forgiveness. God searches us and knows us and is acquainted with all our thoughts and ways. The good news is that God forgives all our wrongs and invites us to be brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, joint heirs in all that is glorious.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 350. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Recruiting people, and she recruited some musicians, and they come, and he has been playing the mandolin, The guitar, the bass guitar, and then he sings every once in a while. I'm sorry? His own song, right. And then he comes with a wife, a son, and three daughters. Ted introduced us to the whole family. Nolan, our drummer, and he went off for a week or two of camp, and we lost the drums, right? Okay. I think we have them stored to keep somebody from walking off with them, okay. And Savannah lives in the same neighborhood. They were out walking one day. You have a little story about that? How did y'all meet? Okay, me. So me brought these people to church, okay? And they have been attending, started on Wednesday night, I believe, and then moved to Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And then during the summer on Wednesday night, when Ted is in town, he's just been coming to play for us and then sing a song or two, along with two other Wednesday night people. Ed, where's John? Oh, there you are, John. It's kind of dark over there. And Savannah and Melanie and
Jemima.
Okay? And so, Wednesday night has been a quiet, peaceful experience, and this family has been a part of that. So, they want to unite with our church. Transfer of membership this morning, a new Christian Bethany. Is that right? And we're going to plan her baptism. We're not sure the details of that yet. Okay? Some of the teenagers may have some warnings for you, okay? That the preacher holds them under the water too long. Maybe not. Maybe. We shouldn't joke about serious matters like this. Anyhow, I'm going to ask you this question for church membership, and then if you can answer in the affirmative or with a yes. These are not new Christians, except Bethany. And we ask, have you or do you together, okay? Do you, have you repented of your sin and believe Jesus to be your Savior and the Lord of your life? The Bible, the Old and the New Testament. Do you believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired Word of God? The source of authority for faith and practice are to believe and to live by. And are you reading and studying them for guidance in living the Christian life? And shall you continue? And Ted said, we talked right before the service, he said, I'm so glad for that question. Where the Old Testament, New Testament is really one continuous story. And do you promise to be a faithful member of this particular church by participating in the worship, sharing in the ministry of witness and service, supporting the government of the church, and loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? Will you strive to overcome temptation and weakness, grow in knowledge and grace, practice love in all relationships, being strengthened in your personal discipleship by your life in the community of faith that we call the church? Stewards. God has entrusted us with so much. Do you promise to be a good steward or continue to be a good steward of the life, the times, the talent, and the money which God has entrusted to you, giving of these gifts to the church for the spread of the gospel? You've heard the questions. You have answered in the affirmative. And I offer you the right hand of fellowship with the promise to give you a respectable baptism. Ted, Allison, Haley, here's that thing, and Nolan. Blessings on you. At the end of the service, we invite you to come back, and we will let the congregation offer their welcome. Brother Ben is going to offer our prayer of church membership.
Give thee praise, O Lord, for people like this. We pray, O Lord, that there will be a strengthening of the congregation through the music and gifts. We can be the grace that they give us.
offertory sentence, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Will our ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
somebody may need to check on Miss Faith. Listen to see.
With Miss Mary Jo. So all the children, if you want to come forward. And do we have children's church today? Okay, and children's church afterwards.
Okay.
Maybe they won't take it.
She won't be in our club.
She won't be in our club.
Scripture lesson is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Then from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The Christian life. Our living as a Christian, the child of God. But before we get into that, I think Miss Schaefer just pulled a muscle somewhere along the way, and I think it began to give her pain. So just lift her up in prayer. And our children's church leader this morning, I believe it's the first time he's done it, and he went out with the big crew. If you hear screaming, somebody go help him out. I don't think they may tie him up. It's the first time they've had a man to do this too, so we thank Mr. Rich for that. And that's part of being the Christian life, is doing some things that he looked happy when he went out, a little hope he is when he comes back, but doing some things that may not be as easy as sitting in the pew where you are. There are two aspects of the Christian life that I want to bring to your attention this morning. One is what God does for us through Jesus Christ. The grace that He sends, salvation, eternal life. And that's so beautiful to rest in and enjoy and think about and just breathe in. I think I'm at a loss for words to express how that aspect or that part of being a child of God is so glorious. All that God does for us. But then the other aspect is not always as easy as receiving the blessings of God. And that is doing what He calls on us to do. Obedience. Trust is one thing. Obeying is quite different sometimes. Obeying His Word, obeying those words of His that we got into this some weeks ago. Third sermon on forgiveness this summer. One on June the 22nd, one last week, and maybe we will at least conclude this series before the day is over today. But think of those two aspects of the Christian life, and one of the difficult things to do that we're told to do by Jesus Himself, by His servants through the years, by God back in the Old Testament through the prophets, is forgive. Forgive others. And I want us to remember that Jesus says, if you really love Me, you will keep My commandments, or you will do what I ask you to do if you're really in love with Jesus. We'll talk about, I guess, degrees of that this morning, our steps along the way, our hope in Him. Friends, forgiving is not easy. And my laptop went kaflooey, and something is not right about it. And so I'm having to look back. If that is a distraction to you, I hope it won't be too much. Forgiving is not easy. How are you doing in this difficult thing, experience, that Jesus calls on us as His redeemed people to do? It's not easy.
I recognize that that's not easy. And as I talk about forgiveness, it may come through that I think that I have arrived. Well, in forgiveness and many other aspects of the Christian life, it's a work in progress. I remembered a number of cliches, I guess, or little phrases that I think fit, whether it be forgiveness or some other part or aspect of living for Christ. And I want to share some of them this morning. But first, I do not claim to have arrived or at or mastered this virtue of forgiving. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It's a work in progress, if you will. And some people feel and even taught and teach, when you trust Christ, automatically everything is fixed. We're saved and that's all we ever have to do. But friends, there is so much that I've had to learn through the years, and after trying to preach, I think I figured up this morning 54 years or 55 years or something like that. 54 years. Now I didn't start preaching that early. Over 40, trying to be a Christian since age 11. There's still a lot to learn. And there's so much that I haven't mastered. Yeah. And it may be the same for you. I hope that we're all still growing, that we continue to grow in Christ. I'm one of the cliches is, or phrases is, I'm not where I need to be, nor am I where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. I'm not where I was. I believe that I've always been somewhat of a forgiving person, but I believe as I reflect back, I'm a little better at it now than I was a few years ago, even, but a number of years ago. I've learned the benefits of forgiving. I've also learned more of what God says about the necessity of me forgiving others who have done something either against me or against somebody else that was my friend. Paul spoke of this situation in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10 and following, I believe it is. And he talks about he had not arrived, but he kept pressing on another step, another step. And I think that is the right position to be in. If we feel that we have arrived, we could be in a dangerous position. We have arrived in relationship with God. We have arrived that we are trusting in Jesus as our Savior. But as far as growing in the Christian life, hopefully we grow and grow and keep on growing until we draw that last breath. That we're not static. We're not, but I've done all that I need to do. Hopefully we will keep moving on and climbing higher on the ladder of spirituality, if there is such thing as a ladder of spirituality. That we're taking another step. We're advancing a little further. We're growing in the faith. We're maturing more. I see myself as a work in progress. And I see some of you that I've been close to, that I am close to, a work in progress. We're not, have not arrived yet, but we're progressing. We've arrived at salvation, but we're not there completely in Christian maturity. We have not grown to what we can be. So we're works in progress. I believe that we are. in regard to forgiveness. That's the subject today. So in regard to forgiveness, it's still a work in progress. And friends, I had to talk to a guy Thursday, I guess it was, fellow preacher, and he says he guessed that 95% of his preaching was through himself. Wow. I guess that, I don't know the percentage, but a lot of my preaching is through myself. And when you're, especially when you're preaching on a subject, when a situation comes up, you think about that, have I acted as I am urging other people to act or instructing them to act? So we preach to ourselves as well. The Word convicts us. The Word speaks to us, or the Word of God speaks. And it continually speaks to me regarding my forgiveness of those who have offended me or done something that I saw that was wrong. Maybe as I see it, an offense against God. Another phrase, I believe that God is not through with me yet. And I think of that country song, I'm just a lump of coal, an old lump of coal, but I hope to be a diamond someday. Now, some people will say, Larry, you'll never be a diamond. Well, could I be a diamond in the rough? No. Maybe. But you know, it takes a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure for a lump of coal to become a diamond. And a lot of time for a lump of coal. Maybe I don't have that much time. Maybe only when I have drawn that last one, that last breath, and passed to that other life, maybe I'll be shiny like a diamond then. I hope so anyway. There's a song that came to my mind. Does God remind you of this stuff? That's been stored somewhere in the recesses of my mind and heart for years. Don't remember singing this song. I don't think it's in our news hymn book, which is 12 years old. Not so new, is it? And I had to go find it in another song book. I even looked it up on the internet, and I was so surprised at who they attributed it to. Then I went to a hymn book, and there was a different writer actually stepping in the light. How many know the song Stepping in the Light? Okay, Stepping in the Light. Stepping in the Light. But there's a phrase in here. It's the third phrase, I guess, but here's the first verse. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Okay, the woman that wrote this, I think she died in 1920, born in 1851. She wrote some other songs, and I even found them. Sunshine in My Soul, that's in this hymnal. More About Jesus, that's in this hymnal. And When We All Get to Heaven, her name was Eliza. I'm assuming it's a woman. Eliza, could be a man though. Eliza E. Hewitt, H-E-W-I-T-T. So that's at least four songs that are attributed to her. But the first verse of this, Stepping in the Light, and it creeped up on me, or crept up on me, or somehow it was revealed to me again. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Trying to follow our Savior and King. And then this third phrase is shaping our lives by His blessed example. Shaping our lives by His blessed example. And that may be where it is, that we are being shaped by Him, maybe a better way to put it, but we're trying to adjust our life. We're trying to be open to God and His Spirit as it shapes us into that person that He calls us to be. Does this make sense? Are you with me? Are you with me? And then it goes on, happy how happy the songs that we bring. And it says, pressing more closely to Him who is leading. And that means we must be following Him. And then we're tempted to turn from the way. We're tempted not to forgive. We're tempted to be mad and get even and get back at. And like a little boy, was it last week? Had to hit him, sock him, and then forgive him. Okay? Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Upward, still upward, will follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King in His beauty, then how happy our place at His side. Lord, I'm willing. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm willing to be shaped. Or, Lord, I'm having trouble even being willing to forgive those who have harmed me. Or forgive those who have harmed society. Lord, I'm willing. No, Lord, I'm not yet willing, but make me willing. Move me. Touch my heart. I think this situation, that as I experience it, is one of those press on to the mark situations that Paul talked about. I press on to the mark. I have not yet arrived, but I'm working on it. God is not through with me yet. God is shaping me by His example, by His Spirit, by His Word. As we read His Word and we find something that says, oh, I didn't catch it the last time I read it. Oh, I was thinking of something else when the preacher preached on that last time. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then we read further the Lord's Prayer at the bottom of it in Matthew, and He explains, if we cannot forgive those who trespass against us, our forgiveness, well, it's not there. Or you go to the 18th chapter of Matthew and read that passage also. I see it as, I believe the Bible teaches it as, a little less of me and a lot more of Jesus situation. And that's what John the Baptist experienced. John the Baptist came preaching. John the Baptist came preaching baptism or repentance for the forgiveness of sin. John the Baptist came getting the people, the community ready for Jesus to come. He came as a forerunner. Then in John chapter 3, verse 30 and following, if I made the right note, John the Baptist says, Jesus, or He must increase, and I must decrease. And that's, we have our opinions. We have our thoughts. Be it about forgiveness or about tithing. Did I need to put that one in? Or about Christian service or about mission work in the country, out of the country, whatever. About loving our neighbor and loving our enemies. Less of me, more of Him. More of Him, Jesus, less of me. And I hope that's your situation in your forgiveness. We can always take another step. Most Bible references, and I've kind of already alluded to this, but most Bible references about forgiveness are about forgiving those who have sinned against us. Most Bible references are a call to forgive those who have harmed us. But the call to forgive also applies when someone has done something to someone else, or when someone has done something to society, or maybe just said something that was wrong. And I have an illustration. Wow. My mom's neighbor, two neighbors, had nothing to do with her except one neighbor moved a fence row over on the other neighbor. Their backyard wasn't big enough. They didn't think. They just moved the fence. And my friend said, oh, Miss Robbie won't care. Miss Robbie owned the land that they moved the fence over to make their backyard bigger. Miss Robbie did care. She did care. And Miss Robbie went to court to have them to move it back. They knew where the fence was when they built the house. But my mother, a neighbor, also joined this neighbor that did the fence moving, though. She got mad at him. She stayed mad at him. And I'm afraid she went to her grave still upset with him. He did wrong. He moved the fence. Or, that's my mother's story. That's Miss Robbie's story. The fence was moved back. He had less backyard than he hoped to have. But he could have moved his house when he built it. But so many people, they see somebody do something to somebody else that has nothing to do with them, and they'll just get mad at them and stay mad at them and never will forgive them. My parents even changed churches over that because he was a fellow preacher. And it goes on and on. Then they finally got to where they would fellowship anyway. Golden rule. You know what it says? We say, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Read the King James Version of Matthew's account of the golden rule. As you would that others do unto you, do so ye likewise unto them. Or something like that. I didn't write it down. Luke chapter 6, verse 31, and Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. A few weeks ago, I was driving down the street, the road, the highway, past Triune Methodist Church. Since March, I've been going by Triune Methodist Church to see everything that's taking place down there. That sign. They had a movie last night, they had Bible school last week, but they had a sign on that reader board out there. Sign, it says, God forgives you, forgive yourself. Then maybe one reason we can't forgive others is that we haven't forgiven ourselves. Maybe one reason we can't forgive ourselves is that we haven't forgiven others. Maybe. And if we haven't forgiven others, Jesus says, don't even look too much for forgiveness. Does he not? He calls on us. He's pretty adamant. More places than one about forgiveness. Maybe one reason, Colossians 3, 12 and 13, and then 14. That was our scripture lesson. We're finally getting there. As God's chosen people, read that, as God's holy people, as God's dearly loved people. God loves us enough to, how much did he love us? Enough to send his Son to be our Savior, to die on the cross for us. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Then he says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. He doesn't just say forgive, he reminds us. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He reminds the Colossians that we have been forgiven and we need to forgive. Go back to Matthew chapter 18 and read that passage. Okay? Where the servant was forgiven a debt, but then he went out and wouldn't forgive the person that owed him something. All and over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Love is the thread that wraps us up, or the tape that holds us together, binds us together. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, etc., etc. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you go back, Jesus said, forgive, 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 forgive. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through chapter 5, verse 2, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness. If you're holding something against somebody, you're kind of bitter at them. Rage, anger, brawling, and slander. Well, we say we don't brawl too much, but what about those others? Along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, and even to the Ephesians. That other was to Colossians. To the Ephesian Christians, he wrote, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And be imitators of God. Be imitators. Imitate God. Act like God acts. Not only shaping our lives by the blessed example of Jesus, but of God the Father, or as we see God in the person of Jesus. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Newsletter. It was a filler from the Fayetteville Church. I get a bunch of newsletters, I open them up. This one happens to come in the envelope for some reason, and I opened it up and looked at it. It had a poem. And I know when you see a poem in a newsletter, if somebody didn't have something to say, they had an empty space, they cut something out and placed it in. That's what I saw when I read that letter. But it said love. And I said, well, I need to read this. 2 or 3 weeks ago this happened. I read it. And this is no criticism on the Fayetteville Church or anybody else that puts a lot of filler in. So sometimes the filler could be good. And this would really help me. And it said love. And I started to read it. And it was 1 Corinthians 13. And I said, I know that. How many times have I read it? How many times have you read it? 1 Corinthians 13. I said, I don't need to read that. I know what it says. And about a minute later, I was sitting on the couch in the office. About a minute later, second later, something said, read it again. I don't know if it's that loud or not, but I got the message anyway. So I started reading again. And it said, speaking of love, one of the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13, it keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrong. Or in other words, love forgives. Because if we forgive, we don't keep a record of it, right? Love forgives. We have a great need to practice forgiveness. We have a great need to practice more forgiving and to practice forgiving some more. And I think God revealed to me a plan to forgive. How did you learn to read? You learn to read by reading words like Presbyterian. The first word you ever read was Presbyterian. Is that right? True or false? Respond to me. Wake up. First word you ever read was Presbyterian. And Methodist is a little shorter than that, so the second word you ever read was Methodist then, right? And then I say a lot of people are Baptist because they can't spell Presbyterian. And you try to tell people how to spell Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and you know that they can't be Presbyterian, they've got to be something else. Episcopalian, that one's hard to say too. We didn't learn to read by learning big words like this. We learned A, first grade teacher, third grade teacher, B. Then we learn C, and then we learn O, and we learn etc. We learn letters. Then we put two letters together, W-E, we. And then we put three letters together, a quick lesson. We learn C-A-T, cat, D-O-G, dog. And we learn F-E-E. So we learn some three-letter words, right? Am I right? Elementary teachers, come on here. And then we learn some four-letter words, and I dare you to say one that we shouldn't say in church. Please don't. Please don't. We learn some four-letter words that you can speak. Love. Amen. Love is a four-letter word also. And then we learn to read, and I learn to read, and some of us, see, spot, run. Dick and Jane book. Is that right? See, spot, run. Or see, spot, go. A two-letter word, a three-letter word, and a four-letter word. Okay, can we translate that to forgive? Can we forgive little offenses? We learn little things, little words. Can we forgive little offenses? And then move on, remember a big offense, a bigger offense, and learn to forgive that. And then move on to a great big offense. And I believe if we start practicing on the little ones, we can end up forgiving those big, big things that people have done wrong or wrong to us. It doesn't have to be to us. We don't only need to practice forgiving, teach forgiveness. We need to teach forgiveness by the way we do it ourselves and the words that we use. We need to teach our children but what we hear. I'll never forget them. The children learn it. They take after us
more than we think,
especially those things that are not so Christian.
What are you doing about forgiveness?
There are two parts of the Christian's life, friends. Say this at the beginning, let me say at the end. One is what Jesus has done for us. Number two is what He has called on us, demands really, that we do for society. Let's look at 349. Trust and obey. That's where it is, isn't it? That's the message. We need to trust God for salvation and obey Him for a life that would glorify Him. Verse 1 of 349. Stand with me if you will. Benediction, and you'll come and offer your welcome. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior, that we can trust in Him because your Spirit is so moved in us. And now we pray for that Spirit to move that we can obey what Jesus teaches. In His name.